Blog Talk Radio.
You got a new camera?
No, why?
It looks mad crispy.
Looks sharp, right? Yeah, that's what I was even looking like. It looks kind of sharp.
Damn.
Fuck, man. I knew the show was going to do that. Why did it do that?
Making me look homeless on this, right?
And, all right. Did I set this restream? No, I did not.
Do some ire with my Kevin Knox, Zach Wilson comp.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you now. I was hearing you loud and clear, but I didn't hear what you said, basically.
Oh.
Yeah.
I said I got a lot of ire with that Zach Wilson, Kevin Knox comp. I'm going to bring that on the show.
All right,
I'm bringing it on the show.
All right, let's talk about it. Hang on. All right. Look up again. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's get it rolling. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Sunday evening. Another edition of Knicks Weekly, episode 73. On tonight's show, we got an action-packed show, man. We're going to talk about Giannis Watch, the Knicks reportedly keeping close tabs on the Greek Freak. James Dolan speaks out and then has to walk back some of his statements in typical James Dolan fashion. ESPN showing the Knicks a lot of love. Plus, Austin Rivers, man. Austin Rivers talking a little spicy about his Knicks tenure, man. We got a lot to do. Plus, training camp is right around the corner, man. So lock in. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Number one Knicks show for the fans by the fans. Number one Knicks podcast for the fans by the fans. CP the franchise. Al Chitar, Stratocaster, a.k.a. the Datacaster on the ones and twos. So to our loyal franchise channel members watching right now, and do us a big favor, man. If you're a diehard Knicks fan, a diehard NBA fan, hit that like button, hit that share button, and subscribe to the channel. You got to tap into the algorithm early. Like, share, subscribe every single time, man. And do us a favor, share this video on Twitter if you can right now. Al, how you feeling, man?
What's good, CP?
Feeling
good, man.
Yeah.
I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Trying to catch up as much sleep as possible.
Yeah.
You know that's impossible.
A lot of life changes for you, man. How are you adjusting to dad life? What's that like?
This is the question I knew you were going to ask me today.
Yeah.
I had to think about how to answer this
yeah.
one. But to put it point blank, I'm loving it. I'm loving dad life.
Right.
Love my son. Love the changes. Love the new addition to the family. I just look at him like, yo, how can you not, man? You already
yeah.
know what it is. You're a father. You see yourself and your child. You're like, let's go. Obviously, the difference is your son's five. My kid's a newborn.
Yeah.
So all he's doing is sleeping, pooping, and eating.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, can we do anything different nowadays? But
yeah.
Today he decided to give me a surprise. Today he decided to change it up, CP.
All right.
Today he decided to not only encompass how the Jets played today, but took it to another level. Because why? How? How, you ask? I'll tell you how. He decided to spit up all over me.
There
you go. As we're watching the Jets game, I was like, okay, there we go.
Yep.
He had a little too much milk. All right.
Yep.
But then he's like, you know what? This team was so bad, CP, he had to drop a nuke in the diaper.
There
it
you
exploded.
Go.
Exploded.
Nice.
And
nice.
I was like,
you got your first explosion.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
All over the PJ.
Good,
so I was
good,
like, you
good.
Know what? This is exactly what I watched on TV today,
yeah.
So it's only right. Serendipitous, as our guy Walt Clyde Frazier would say, with how the Jets played today. But other than that, loving dad life, man.
That's
loving
good.
Dad life. Have you been, though? Have you been?
They say you haven't really officially become a dad until you get spit on, itched on, you know, the whole nine yards, man. You got to take one for the team. That's what they say, man. So you're heading in the right direction.
Fine from my son, but no thank you to the New York Jets today. No thank you.
Yeah, it's looking pretty bleak for New York football, man. I mean, New York baseball has turned the lights off early, and New York football is headed that way, man. It's headed that way, you know. I wasn't expecting the G-Men to beat the Niners on Thursday. Definitely wasn't expecting that. And after watching them against Arizona last week, when, yes, Jones, big comeback and all that, I wasn't impressed. The team needs a lot of work. The O-line still stinks. Defense can't get after it, can't force any turnovers. If you can't win in the trenches, I've been saying this for years, you can't win in the trenches, you have no shot. You have no shot. You will be nothing more than an average team at best in the NFL.
You know, CP, I would rather take your woes of needing an offensive line, because that, I feel like, is much more – well, it is. It's not,
yeah.
I think. It is. It is much more simpler than solving the quarterback issue, as for the New York Jets, which is all I had was four snaps of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the day I came home from the hospital with our son. We brought him home that day. I was like, you know what? Get out of the hospital. I'm looking forward to watching Jets football.
Mm.
I see Breece Hall rip 28 yards, and I'm like, all right, I got to get up, go warm a bottle. For my son, I come back. I'm like, why is Zach Wilson in the game? I missed the entire injury of what happened to Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, I got to stick with Zach Wilson, and now I have to watch that again. I had to watch this again today. This kid is not NFL ready, man. I'd rather take offensive line issues every single day of the week than watching a guy who should not be in the NFL,
man.
At all.
He's dreadful.
Is horrible, man. He is horrible.
Yeah.
Outside of one miraculous drive. The offense just stutters. It sucks. I can't deal with the man. I know everyone's complaining like, whoa, the offensive line could be better for the Jets. Well, you know, there's no offensive creativity. You know what it starts with? The quarterback. The quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. Your signal caller has to be good, has to be competent.
He's a bonehead, man. He's a bonehead. And if he can't solve that part right, it doesn't matter how good of an arm you have, how far you can throw it. He doesn't have it, man. He doesn't have it, so.
Yep. Not at all. And shout out to Nick's Muse for asking this question. I got some ire from this one, CP.
Mm.
And let me give you this question. He said, shout out to Nick's Muse. Said, current or all time, who is the Knicks equivalent of Zach Wilson? And I said, Kevin Knox.
Mm.
I said, Kevin Knox. And here's my reason. Both highly drafted, should not have been drafted at their position.
Yeah.
Kevin Knox, a lot of
overhyped.
Had no reason to be there. Zach Wilson, number two overall, no reason to be there. What prompted them to go up so high? Their draft, the pre-draft workout. Kevin Knox having a good pre-draft workout. Zach Wilson in the underwear Olympics throwing a nice deep yard bomb across the body because he went off platform.
There you go.
And then both of them just not caliber, not starting caliber in their respective leagues at all.
Next year, man. Next year, Jets fans. Next year, man. But listen. Haven't solved the quarterback position since Joe Willie back in the 60s. It's been for damn near five, six decades. So.
And yet I tune in every single season.
Hey, long suffering, man. But let's get to the hoops. Giannis watch, man. Our guy Ian Begley, shout out to our guy Ian Begley. He came out with a report earlier this week that said that the Knicks are going to be keeping tabs on the Greek freak, man. The Greek freak has come out a couple times now and said, hey, listen, my future in Milwaukee is far from solidified. Far from solidified. As a matter of fact, he was on the 48 Minutes podcast, and here's exactly what he had to say in regards to his future with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's what he had to say. Here's a Greek Freak, courtesy of the 48 Minutes podcast. Here he is. All right, so that's the Freak, courtesy of 48 Minutes podcast. He says he wants to create new memories. He's not resting on his laurels. That championship that they won has come and gone. And he's eligible as of October 23rd. He's eligible for a three-year, $169 billion extension, which he'll most likely not sign. And then at the end of the season, he'll be eligible for 4 years, $234 before creeping up on a player option in the 25-26 season. What do you think, man? John Talento in the chat says, this is our guy. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, I would love to get Giannis in Madison Square Garden, man. I'd be the first one to buy the Greek Freak jersey in the orange and blue. But, look, the Knicks would be competing with 28 other teams, you know. Obviously, he's on the Bucks. Knicks are interested, as Begley's reported. It would be amazing if the Knicks could do that. But the thing is that he's going to just say all these things. You know, we spoke with Amin El-Hassan, right? Uh-huh, and he talks about, of course, your star player is going to say these things. Of course, your star player is going to talk about, I want to win and compete at the highest level, because that's how you put the front office on notice, saying, look, man, you need to continuously think about how we're going to compete for championships. Because as Amin said, the Bucks can be happy, man. The Bucks can be happy. They won their championship. As Giannis said, it's been over 50 some odd years since that team. It's been 50 some odd years for winning a championship for Milwaukee, right? They could be content. They could be okay for another 50 years without winning a championship. Mm-hmm. But when you have a superstar in the building, it's very rare to have one. And in order to make them happy, you have to make sure that you put the front office on notice saying, look, you need to continuously evaluate, bring in new talent so that way I can feel that we're competing every single year. Because from what Giannis has said every single season, no matter what it is, he has a winner's mentality. He wants to win championships. He wants to go down in history as one of the best to ever do it. And winning one championship is nice, but when you talk about all the other greats like Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, you know, Michael Jordan, Shaq, all these guys have multiple rings. If you want to get up to that level of greatness, you're going to need multiple rings. And the only way you're going to do that is having a team that is well-rounded, versatile, and deep enough in order to make these deep playoff runs and talented enough to win. So, yeah, he's going to say these things. Of course, the Knicks are going to be interested in an MVP caliber player. That's not news. They've been doing that for the last however many years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But can they actually get him? What will it actually happen? I don't know, man. We got to wait to see what Milwaukee does moving forward, if Giannis will shake loose. And then from there, you got to hope that the Knicks have the ability to persuade him to come to New York.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, every team's going to be in on this. It won't just be the Knicks. All 29 other NBA teams are going to be monitoring the situation. I think, well, as you said, every star is going to say the same thing. No one's going to be like, oh, I can't wait to sign and stick around with the team. But he is putting pressure on the team to continue to contend. They have Holiday. They have Lopez. They have Chris Middleton, three guys who are over 30. And they're going to be coming off of the other side of their prime. It's not clear on whether Jrue Holiday intends to stay with them. Is he going to sign an extension? Is he going to retire? He's already talking retirement talk. So that's not clear in terms of their future. But, I mean, look, in terms of fit, right, as we sit there and fantasize about all these superstar players that the Knicks could potentially get, this is the thing that we do best as Knicks fans. Whether it's Giannis Embiid or Spider Mitchell, when you talk about one of the questions that came on Fan Fridays was who's the best fit, it's definitely Giannis. It's definitely Giannis in terms of the best fit. Who you say if we trade and can get a guy like this, do we immediately become contenders? And a Giannis trade for the Knicks, for me, I think that's an automatic yes. They need somebody that can play on both sides of the ball and dominate on both sides of the ball, and this is what he can do. Yes, injuries are a concern. Injuries are a concern with a lot of players. He has had some tough ones as of late. Most recently, the back injury that debilitated him in their first round series loss to the Miami Heat. But, I mean, this is the guy. This is definitely the guy. So, like you said, every team is going to be waiting on him. But if the Knicks have a shot. This is the guy that can change the franchise's fortunes. But, you know, rather than waiting on him, which the entire league will be, there will be competition for his services, I think I'm a little more intrigued or interested in how that 2025 first round pick that the Bucks owe the Knicks, how that comes into play as the Bucks look to compete, look to finish their, you know, look to continue to contend while their window is open, because that's in two more years. How will that team look at that point? They won't have much committed in terms of salary. As I said, Giannis is on a player option for that year. It's going to be interesting to see how that Bucks pick looks, because that Bucks pick for the Knicks is top five protected. So anywhere between 5 and 30 that the Bucks fall, that pick is going to come to the Knicks. The Bucks find themselves in a rebuild situation that can certainly benefit the Knicks. And so, sure, we can certainly, you know, dream about the Giannis scenario, but I think it's a better scenario to think about what that 25 pick looks like should the Bucks be headed in towards a rebuild by that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, when you look at the Bucks for the next couple of years with their draft picks, 2024 first rounder, the Pelicans hold the rights to that first rounder. 2024 second rounder, the Portland Trailblazers hold the rights to that one. Or I'm sorry, no. They got that 2020 second rounder via Portland. 2026, New Orleans holds that right. 27, 28, 29, 30, that's all theirs. So 2025, they don't got a draft pick at all. They got nothing. Zero. Zilch. You talk about what is going to happen with this team for Giannis afterwards. You know, you talk about Chris Middleton, injuries, right? You talk about Drew Holiday, and you talk about his potentially saying he's going to retire, right? This team could look totally different, man. The older they get, players don't always last all 82 games, right? Look, we're seeing it right now. Guys are playing not even all 82, 65, much less now. So will the Bucks be healthy for Milwaukee to compete, and where does that pick land? Could be a lottery pick. Could not. Who knows? But if you're even the Bucks and you're thinking about how do we make sure that we, as the Bucks, can build around Giannis to keep him here, is there something that you do to say to the Knicks, hey, can we get that pick back? Do you make a trade with the Knicks to say, hey, we can give you somebody else in return? Maybe they have somebody else that they drafted later that could help the Knicks at that time. You know, this is the things that you start thinking at that time period where it's like, even if it's not Giannis, how do the Knicks benefit? Because the Bucks have to do everything in their power to keep Giannis happy and on that team.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. I think the prospects of what that 25 pick could be is much more realistic to me than a Giannis acquisition, but we'll see, man. We've been dreaming for so long. Eventually a dream has to come true, man. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how things go as the season progresses. So to everybody in the chat once again, man, hit that like button, hit the share button, subscribe to the channel. Knicks Weekly, episode 73 in the works. CP the Franchise, Alex Rotaros on the ones and twos. We just got a new franchise channel member in our midst. That is Frame Bloss Music. Shout out to Frame Bloss Music. Just join the franchise channel membership. Salute to our other members in the building. We got Ignacio Lobregat in here. Salute to Ignacio. We got JJ from Brooklyn, man. JJ says, what am I sipping? Shout out to JJ, man. A little Croatian red wine now. A little Croatian red wine. Yeah.
You said Croatian over there.
Yeah, you can imagine where that came from.
Shout out to Lady KFTV.
Yes. Shout out to wifey indeed. Had a great weekend, a little birthday weekend.
I forgot. Yeah. First of all, happy birthday.
Appreciate it.
I said happy birthday to you in the chat on Twitter and so forth.
Yeah.
But I didn't even ask you, how was your birthday?
Oh, it was great. It was great, man. It was a week filled with celebrations with the fam. As you know, it's little man's birthday as well. It's really his day. I'm just a part of it. I'm just a willing participant. Make sure that he has the day that he needs. He gets all the toys and all the games and stuff. Got him a Nintendo Switch, Legos, and all that stuff. So because we share the day, you know, went out to dinner with the fam. And then, you know, the weekend wifey took care of me, man. Wined and dined in the city, little rooftop. You know what I mean? Yeah, nice. Had a great time. A little sip and paint. You know what I mean? Some nice quality time, man.
That sounds awesome, man. Well, happy birthday to you and your son. That's awesome you guys share the same birthday.
Yeah, man.
And I did see there was some competition on who painted better during that outing.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't make a selection because I didn't know who.
Well, if you if you're on the Instagram, the painting. Well, I won't tell you which one was mine, but all I'll say is the one on the right was a true winner, and even the instructors said so. So I'm going to go with the instructor's word and not the majority of the people that voted on the IG that that my painting from the Sipping Paint was better. So if you guys want to check it out on the IG page. Anyway, training camp. We are just about a week away from training camp, man. Media day.
Yes, sir.
Media day is going to start on October 2nd. And that will be from the Citadel. Nick's going back to Charleston, South Carolina, man, for the first time in 23 years. Haven't been there since 2000. They're going to be at the Citadel. Training camp will be there for the week. You have media day on Monday, October 2nd. Training camp starts Tuesday, October 3rd. And then you have Knicks Celtics kicking off the preseason on Monday, Columbus Day, October 9th.
Mm.
So there you go. And at part of that, Al, we're going to be kicking off. We got a big, big week set up next week. Training camp week starts on Sunday. We got Ian Begley coming on Sunday, October 1st, training camp week. My guy Ariel Elwani is confirmed for October 3rd, which is the Tuesday. And then my guy Fred Katz rounds out the guests on Thursday, October 5th, man. So everybody keep it locked. Make sure you keep your notifications on so that you guys are a part of those shows. And, yeah, man, kicking off a big week, training camp week starts. So looking forward to that, very much looking forward to that, because the next season is pretty much here, man. So
I'm looking forward to it because baseball sucked. Football now sucks. So yeah.
We're back.
No pressure, Knicks.
No pressure on going to win the championship and making us all proud and happy New Yorkers, because it's been bad as of late. And speaking of pressure and performance, how about our guys from ESPN? Had a lot of optimism for these Knicks, man. Here was Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst on what this Knicks season could look like. Here it is.
Malika Hayton.
All right. So that was Zach Lowe and Brian Windhorst, courtesy of ESPN's NBA Today. And Al, you know, my reaction to what they had to say, Lowe saying that why not the Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals, Windhorst saying that they're built in a solid way right now to compete and to get the piece that hopefully can change the franchise's hopes. My reaction is we've heard it before right here on KFTV, right? So, you know, some people like to think ESPN's ice is colder and they take more stock into what those guys say, but this is nothing that you haven't heard on this platform many a times, especially when it comes to the Knicks' potential this season because of those question marks that Zach Lowe pointed out. Yes, the Celtics have to get their respect, but a smart subtraction, a Kristaps addition, how do they look? How do they look when the onus is now fully on Tatum and Brown to lead that team? How do they look without their defensive anchor in a Marcus Smart, their locker room, soul, heart, and soul in a Marcus Smart? We'll see. Philadelphia on fire right now. No Harden. How does that impact things? I think they're going to take a big hit. Miami, they don't get Dame. I don't think they're as strong as they were last year. Anything can happen. You can't count them out. But I say that to say, outside of Milwaukee, sure, yes, you still want to put the Celtics up there. We'll see what happens with Cleveland. I give the Knicks a shot. Now, there's question marks that have to be answered. Number one, can Brunson maintain or exceed where he finished last year? Can he be a true all-star for them? Because he's going to need to be. What happens when the league sends that extra attention to him? The full tape is out on him. Is he going to maintain? How does Randle play? How does Randle play in particular in the playoffs? How does Quick play in the playoffs? Where will RJ be in the playoffs? There's a lot of variables, right? It's not just automatic just because they made it that far last year that they're guaranteed to get there. They still have to go out there and execute and play very well. And their big three, plus quick off the bench, are going to be very important. And then lastly is going to be, how do they fill that backup four spot? Will Josh Hart be able to last there? Will they maintain their rebound and edge? Will they be able to help rim protect, especially off of the bench? Will that lack of size help them in certain areas, or will they hurt them to a greater degree? Those are some of my questions that I have as it relates to getting that team to get over the hump. If Brunson is there, Randall has to be there. And if they are, I don't see why not, given the question marks around the East.
CP pointed out all the right categories for this team moving forward, whether it's Brunson taking on that next level, right, for the double teams, whether it's Randall showing up in the playoffs, quickly showing up in the playoffs. All that is true. All that is accurate. You said it. Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum for how months at this point, right? We go up and down the East. We even go further than that. We talk about the Hawks, the Pacers, everybody else, and where they all stack up and where the Knicks are. You know, the question I have moving forward with this team is that, will we be too small going against opponents? All right, that's the big thing, because you got Dante DiVincenzo now, right? I know Obi didn't play that much, but still, you're adding another guard to the rotation. We're talking about minutes that are going to get a little bit more jumbled. Where your closing rotation is going to be? Are these guys going to have enough continuity on a nightly basis? Because as we saw this past season with Tom Thibodeau, right, until we got Josh Hart, you know what that closing lineup was. It was Brunson, Grimes, RJ, or quickly for RJ, with Randall, Mitch, Hartenstein. You already knew what it was. Once you brought Josh Hart in here, things changed. And we saw that even through the playoffs, right? Whether it's Hart being the starter, Grimes playing in game five and having that stop against Jimmy Butler. That's the big question for me. It's, what will this team look like in the closing minutes? Because that's going to be a lot of reading and having a pulse on this team, right? Will Tom Thibodeau have the pulse of this team to know who to close with on a nightly basis? Will it be Dante DiVincenzo's night? Is he struggling? Do you still go with Dante? Is Grimes struggling? Do you still go out there with him? Do you still rely on him? Josh Hart, maybe he's not shooting well. He doesn't have that same 50% on low volume that he did when he came to the Knicks. Are you going to trust him in a night? Maybe when you need more offense. Is there going to be more offense? That's even a better question. Like, yeah. Offense was awesome last year, even though it was heavy isolation, but can it take another step forward? Can it be a little bit more creative? How do you get other guys involved? Because the Knicks are going to have an X on their back. That's just a fact this season. They made noise last year. Jalen Brunson's on the rise. They made it to the second round. New York, big market. I mean, look, you have Miles Turner going out there and parading for the Knicks at this point.
Yeah.
We're talking about Theo Pinson. But what is the rest of the league looking at? They know how big New York is. We know how it was two seasons ago. Everyone coming in here and saying bing bong after they defeated the Knicks. There's always an X on the Knicks' back.
Yeah.
So is the team going to be ready to deal with that type of, and is Tom Thibodeau going to be ready to have the pulse of the team going into late game execution? Because it's going to change. It's not going to be the same closing five.
Shout out to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D. $50 super chat from the OG, man. Salute to Chuck. He says, salutes. We trust no pundit predictions on our New York Knickerbockers. Can't trust it. Salute to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, man. Just can't trust it, because he trusts the number one show for the fans, by the fans, Knicks Fan TV. So we appreciate Chuck. Call us up, man, 657-383-1509, or hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Chris, we see you on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Hang tight. We're going to get to your call after this quick take. And, you know, on Zach Lowe's comments in terms of the question marks in the East, and in terms of Windhorst comments in terms of how the Knicks future prospects looks, setting them up well for a big star and to compete at the same time. I think the Dame trade speaks on both of those points, because as I said, if Dame doesn't go to Miami, that severely impacts the Heat and their chances. I think that really severely impacts the Heat. And now as it relates to the Dame trade, according to Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, Al, a couple of other teams have entered into the mix as a potential destination for Dame. He says, at this juncture, Toronto and Chicago have been the two possible destinations for Lillard discussed by most league figures. He also expects teams like the Suns and the Jazz could get involved in terms of helping facilitate deals, to get what they want in terms of accomplishing their goals. Watch Utah, man. Watch Utah. Ainge is making a big push and building stacking up a roster there. But one of the interesting things that Jake Fisher had in his article was in a potential Portland and Toronto swap, he does bring up OG Anunoby as a potential piece that could potentially go to the Blazers, but could the Blazers look to then flip him for more draft capital or more younger players to get an even bigger package for Damian Lillard? And Jake brings up the fact that the Knicks have been interested in OG. Could they revisit that as a way to help the Blazers get a better package for Dame? And he says, moving Anunoby and other compensation for Lillard, though, is a much different prospect than moving him for picks from a team such as Memphis or New York. But what goes back to the Blazers? And if you're Portland, could the chance of moving Anunoby rekindle conversations with suitors such as the Knicks and add to the greatest possible return Cronin's staff seeks? Otherwise, maybe Anunoby simply sifts around in Portland. So this is Jake Fisher spitballing, but I think going back to the Windhorst comment on the Knicks having to be patient now and sit and wait for their guy, I think that's what they're going to do. And for that reason, I don't see them pursuing Anunoby or Hield or one of these mid-level trades at the expense of trying to get the big fish of those three guys that could potentially be available, whether it's Mitchell, it's Giannis, it's Embiid. I think those are going to be the probably the two targets that they save up for rather than going OG, going, you know, Hield or one of those mid-level guys.
I don't see Hield because you would – good shooter, awesome shooter, woeful on defense. I just don't see how Tibbs would want somebody who's not great defensively. We saw already how that played out with Evan Fournier, Kemba Walker. We saw that season, and I just don't see that fit for the Knicks. With OG, what does Toronto want, right? And dealing with, so I don't see that one happening either. I think to what you said, it's really just waiting. And what Windhorst says, it's the Knicks are just patient at this point. They got the players, right? They got the players that they need. At this point, it's filled at the guard position. Maybe you add OG, but then OG needs playing time. And where does he get that playing time?
And he needs to get paid.
And he needs to get paid. So where does that happen? I just don't see that happening on this team. For as versatile as he is, unless you're sending out RJ for OG, but even then, do the Knicks really want to do that and add even more compensation where they could just save up to go get someone like Joel Embiid, like a Donovan Mitchell, and, hey, even a Giannis, right? Why waste your capital on that when you can just, at this point, you made it to the second round with this roster. It's not a perfect roster. You could potentially go a little bit further. As we've talked about, as ESPN has noted, this team could, as constructed, go to an Eastern Conference final. So why trade for somebody who's not putting you over the edge
over the top.
Competitively.
Over the top. Yeah. Just an opinion. I the way this roster is shaping up right now, quick RJ Grimes being your key rostered players on top of the draft picks, I don't see you moving those if it's not for clear all-star superstar upgrades in a major package. And maybe it's two separate packages. Like I said, is it a spider in one deal and it's in Embiid and Giannis in another deal?
Yeah. I see Jay from Florida in the chat saying they're wasting capital on Josh Hart.
Shout out to Jay from Florida.
Pick Cam Reddish is not wasting. Ryan Arcidiacono, Svi is not wasting capital on a guy who was very much impactful. That was one draft pick. We're talking about multiple assets at this point.
Multiple assets. So again, let's see what happens there. But I think that the Dame trade is going to have some interesting domino effects league-wide. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. The like button, hit the share button, and subscribe to the channel. Knicks Weekly episode 73 underway. CP the Franchise, Alex Taros here, just recapping some of the latest Knicks news and rumors of the past week. Okay, here we go. Jeremy E., $10 Super Chat, Al, says, Randall leaving CAA is big. Mark Berman never would have allowed it to get swept under the rug. Shout out to KFTV. So I guess he wanted a big investigative report on what this all means. Everybody's throwing their tinfoil hats on. Could a contract dispute be looming? Who knows? I mean, look, here's what we do know. His agent, I believe his agent's name is Anthony Thomas, if that name rings a bell. I believe his agent's name is Anthony Thomas. He had hit me up many moons ago. Formerly of CAA, moved on to Wasserman Media, the other major powerhouse, and CAA just got sold, by the way. The agent moved there last year, and now Randall is following suit. Now, is it a contract dispute potentially? I mean, when is it not? Right? It's like, when are contract negotiations going smooth? From Randall's point of view, maybe he looks at it like, hey, listen, I gave the Knicks a little bit of a break. I gave him a deal. Now I want to be taken care of. And from the Knicks standpoint, hey, maybe they're like, hey, listen, you got to go out there and prove it, or else we got the process and we got the freak waiting in the wings, and we're going to go try to go get those guys anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I really don't make too much of a player changing agencies, in all honesty, just because it happens. It's a course of business. I don't really make too much. I think it, like, could it be, oh, Randall and the Knicks have bad blood because of CAA and all the connections there? I mean, they're still working there.
Yeah.
If it was that bad, I feel like the trade would have happened. I feel like they'd be looking at all those outlets right now. But I just don't see so many players change agencies, man. Like, you want the best representation for you.
Yeah.
Like, that is what you're looking for. And if you feel like it's like when, like, we could talk about how Obi went to a different agent, right? And I'm like, yeah, he wants to be better represented, whether that's trying to get more playing time on the Knicks or going to a new team. Like, that's how you look at it. Sure, you can look at that, like, say, hey, Randall maybe want to go to a new team, but I don't know why he would want to leave a team that gives him the opportunity to be a number two option right now, unless the team has already, like, gotten that player in-house. There's no reason for him to leave, and I don't think there's any reason why he would want to leave, unless, like, say the Knicks did get someone like Joel Embiid, right?
Yep.
Say Randall does get knocked down to the totem pole, and, you know, for a guy who is like, hey, look, I've been here, I've been through all the bad times with when I came here. It was terrible my year. I helped make them get the Knicks back to the playoffs. You know, with Brunson, if I was healthy and all these things, you know, we could have made some noise, and now you're bringing somebody else to replace me on the totem pole, be a higher up, and now I play a third option, which he could be upset about that. Then I could say, hey, there's some traction right now because it all happens. But playing for theory until it actually happens, I don't think he's thinking that way. I think he's thinking, look, I'm the number two on the Knicks right now in a big market. It's a good team. I want to get represented. I want to make more money the next contract, plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see. Like, if it was all absolutely all about, you know, contract negotiations, I mean, he didn't have to do that now, right? Like, he could change agents when he's getting closer to negotiating that deal. He's still in the contract with the Knicks till 25, 26, where he's got a player option. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be a number of things. We just don't know. Like, I can't put the tinfoil hat on, be like, oh, man, he's leaving the Knicks. He's leaving the Knicks. We don't know. Two things have to happen. He's got to continue to play well to earn his money. Because if he doesn't, then we've got nothing to talk about here. He's got to stay healthy, play well, continue to produce in the playoffs. And then we'll see what happens. You know, is it business opportunities why he left? Is it the personal relationship that he had with Andrew Thomas, with the agent? We'll have to see, man. Is it, you know, is it business goals? Maybe he wanted to go to Wasserman because, you know, they're more entrepreneurial, enterprising for the players. Who knows? I don't know. It's hard to say.
I mean, look, you're talking about things that, you know, an agent does more than just help negotiate the next contract, right? It's all the other things outside, PR, personal goals. Look, you talk about maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's like, I want more commercial deals while I'm here. I'm not getting enough. Can somebody else help me get those deals to get my face more recognizable in our market.
Maybe he's saying, you know, CP and these guys is eating off these Manscaped commercials for 3.5 years. How do I get in? No testimonials. I'm trying to get endorsement. Go ahead. I jumped.
No, it's all good. He got the Caesar now, so maybe he's like, yo, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Could be. I mean, Julius, if you want me to get in contact with my people, just hit me up. And, you know.
You guys are like that now. You're buddy.
Well, I'm not blocked. He didn't block me like he blocked you.
Gives you some prayer emojis on the KFTV IG page. Now you guys are all buddy.
The lines of communication are open. That's all I'll say.
You know
what I'm saying?
Okay.
You take that for what it will.
I'm still waiting for the dinner between the Randalls and Mr. and Mrs. KFTV.
Maybe one day, man. Maybe one day. So we'll see how it happens then. We'll see what happens there. But I'm not too concerned then. So we talked the Greek Freak. You have our training camp updates. ESPN loving the Knicks. How about James Dolan, Al? James Dolan, man. Jimmy D. In an article from the New York Times, they did a big article on Dolan. This was by, let me put some respect on the journalist's name here, Catherine Roseman, did a big piece on Dolan as they get ready to open up the MSC Sphere over in Las Vegas. Very interesting piece, in-depth article on profile on Dolan being the son of a media tycoon, Charles Dolan being his father. And the whole thing was kind of centered around the Sphere kind of being Dolan's crown jewel, you know, the one project where he steps out of his father's shadow and really claims something of his own. And it was very interesting in that it spoke about his, and Knicks fans will love this because this article really goes in on his meddling ways when it comes to micromanaging various aspects of the business, especially when it came to the Sphere, which is his baby right now. They shared some anecdotes when he was at the Beacon Theater and he wasn't pleased with how the construction was looking outside, didn't like how the aesthetics were looking, very, very in the weeds. And what an interesting quote in the article said that when it came to the Sphere, that Dolan was on it so much that he managed it down to the invoice level. Which, again,
wow.
Very interesting, especially when you think about the Knicks.
Why are you worrying about the invoice level, bro, when you're that high up?
Hey, man, that's life of a business owner, man. That's life of a business owner. So one of the interesting quotes that, you know, got Knicks fans stirred up was the article says, Dolan, in terms of Dolan, he considered expanding his sports portfolio, perhaps, by buying a baseball or soccer team. But while the Knicks and Rangers are near and dear to my heart, he said, I don't really like owning teams, calling the economics of Major League Sports kind of sleepy. He ruled out the option of buying more teams. He would go on to say about the Knicks fan. Listen up, people. He's talking to you. He would go on to say, basically every fan thinks of themselves as owner and general manager. Being a professional sports owner in New York, he said, you're not beloved until you're dead. And that was Jimmy D on owning the team. Now, he would later in an interview with Barron's kind of retract the statement on not loving to owning teams because, you know, MSG is partly a public company. And so he has some responsibility to his shareholders. So news like that could make people think, hey, maybe he's selling soon. But he would go on to say that he has no intentions of selling. So pump the brakes, Knicks fans. Christmas has not come early for you. But either way, your thoughts, bro, on this Dolan piece.
I mean, the micromanaging we knew about just from how he's run the Knicks, that's nothing new. But for him, it's just like owning another, like, what's funny, fun fact, he almost bought the Jets. It was between him and Woody Johnson when Hess was selling the team, and Woody Johnson got the Jets. But I think for him, man, like sports, the thing about sports is that you need the team obviously to be good in order to generate a lot of revenue. Now the Knicks are a good tourist attraction. People just go to Madison Square Garden. So you can do that. But for him to make the most money, the team's got to be good. Yeah. Right. The more, the better the team is, the higher you can raise ticket prices and so forth. Oh, and it's fair to say it's sleepy because if you think about even small market teams, right, if it's dead, like no one's going to games, it's not really a natural, like other entities, right? Like it's not like if we're talking about a Walmart, like a cable company or anything like that, it's more, it's more predictable how much money you can make in those industries rather than a team, because is the team going to be good this year? I don't know. What's the coaching? What are the players going to be like? Do injuries? There's so many more variables in sports where you can't account for how good it's going to be year in and year out. And when you watch the Knicks for the last 20 years and how bad it's been, they haven't been able to charge the amount of money that they definitely wanted to, like in the playoffs, like this past season, right? Yeah. So I think from that aspect, that's where he's getting at for like where it's sleepy, where it's like, oh, well, if the team's not good, you showing up? Probably not.
Yeah.
If the team's good, you're going to be there front and center every single day. Like, think about the times for when Sam Hinkie was running the 76ers and the whole tanking, right? Like,
yeah.
Who's showing up to those games? Nobody. It was dead. Absolutely dead. Yeah. I have friends who are out there who are like, no one was going to those games. You're not making money during that time. So, like, not serious money that you could off a sports team. So that's what I get from reading that article and the comments on the Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah. And again, he would go on in a further interview with Barron's and say he has no intentions of selling the team. So pump your brakes on that idea. Now, he spoke on fan favorite Charles Oakley. And in going back on the situation, the journalist asked him, Katie Rossman asked Dolan, if there was anything he would change about that incident when Oakley was unceremoniously shown the door, Jazzy Jeff style, from the Garden 2017. Dolan says, yes, I wish I could change Charles Oakley. Mm. Now, the two are still in court. The lawsuit is still ongoing between Oakley and Dolan. So I thought it would be an interesting exercise to get the Knicks fans' take on the situation when it first went down. Well, how did you feel about it when it first went down, bro?
I was upset about it.
Yeah.
Because he's a legend.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't throw out a legend. I think it could have been done in a more classier fashion than you just throwing a legend out. I mean, the team was pitiful that year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's better ways to go about it. I don't like the whole comment, like, I wish I could change him and stuff like that. I find that just to be, it's just so insensitive to the entire thing. Like, trying to, like, control a person, that's just wild to even say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a better way of handling that situation. Regardless, you don't have to agree, like, I don't agree with like how Oakley handled it either. No one was truly right on either side, but there's better ways to like mitigate the issue than have security just grab your legend in the building in his home building that he defended with his blood, sweat, and tears. Come on, man.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Tough. It was a tough situation to see live and you know, to see one of our guys get thrown out that way. We did have Oak on the show to explain his side of things. Got a little testy, man. When 12 rounds with Oak, man, he was a little, tight that night.
He did.
But I had to get to the bottom.
He said, you know, like the comments on Ewing, man. Didn't like him.
I didn't like it. To be honest with you, man.
He lost me with that.
Yeah. And look, you know, a lot of fans, I thought their reactions to the incident are still down the middle when you ask fans' opinions about it. There's the one side that says, this is our guy, this is our hero, how could you do that? Dolan stinks, sell the team. Then you have the other side that say, Oak instigated it, shouldn't have done it, should have handled it better, and he deserved what he got. Now, some fans came after me because I took the side of the ladder. I felt like, yes, Dolan is who he is. I don't think he's going to do things unprovoked. Whatever their history is before that game, it's Oak shared his side about how things were leading up. Dolan has shared his side in the interviews about how things were leading up. Whatever that history is, they have a history. Whatever reason Oak chose to sit where he sat that night, there's a reason for that, right? I'm not just gonna you know, sit here and play dumb. Like, he didn't sit intensely three rows right behind the guy, and then all of a sudden a melee occurs. Things had to have been escalating. Now it's Oak's side, it's Dolan's side, and there's something down the middle. I think it escalated between security and Oak, and then one thing led to another, and it got physical when it shouldn't have. It should have been handled more civilly. But I don't think this thing happens unprovoked. That's all I'll say. I don't think it happens unprovoked. Now, it escalated. It got out of hand. But I also thought Oak was in the wrong. I'm just going to be fair. I liked him as a player. I just felt like he was wrong.
I get the whole instigating bit, but at the same time, we also know, and shout out to Chuck D for you know, narrating Shattered. I mean, you listened to Shattered. You were on there as well. You had your segments as well. You just hear how petty Dolan is, man. I mean, when it comes to like media access, covering the team, it's no surprise, man. Yeah. It's no surprise. So I look at Dolan saying, someone's got to be the bigger man in this situation. You're the owner. You run the team. Knicks legend. You got to have thicker skin, man. That's just who Oak is. I get the whole instigate. I get it. I get what you're saying. I totally understand. You don't go into someone's building and start instigating them and start disrespecting them in their own house. I get it. James Dolan's
That's how I see it.
I get all that. But at the same time, we're not talking just about someone being in James Dolan's house. We're also talking about a house that Oak helped build. Okay? Those 90s Knicks are true and dear to a lot of our hearts because of what he brought defensively and that grit and that intensity. And I feel like for what James Dolan could have done, you could be the bigger man. You're like, you know what? This is just who he is. You figure it out. You say, hey, Oak, let's go talk about this. Let's relax. And just keep it moving. Because James Dolan, we know he's a guy who loves to retaliate. Yeah. Look, man, we can't forget. We cannot forget. You don't think there was something in James Dolan. You don't think James Dolan had, what was it, for the Memphis Grizzlies and New York Knicks. Remember that fight that broke out with Jay Crowder, Alfred Payton, all those guys?
Yeah.
You don't think someone said, hey, man, turn off the hot water in the Grizzlies
and
locker
room? And I was with him 100% on that.
Yo.
Absolutely.
Come on, man. That's
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
As funny as that is. You want to go take a shower? Go back to the hotel. You're not using my facilities after trying to treat my players like that. I'm with Dolan on that. See, that's where I'm a little bit different. I'm with Dolan on that. Cut the water off. Get up out of here. This ain't the Plaza Hotel. This is Madison Square Garden. You're going to treat us with respect or you're going to pack your bags up. I'm with Dolan on that.
As much as I loved it and I found it comical.
Yeah.
It's petty for opponents, one thing. Petty? Being petty on your own? That's a line, man.
But that's what I'm saying. With the Oak thing, the history. There's a history. We don't know. Maybe he got to a point where, look, I had enough of this guy. Get him up out of here. Pack your stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, because the way I see it is, it's his establishment. It's his building. You come into my bar and say, hey, this bar sucks, this place sucks, then get up out of here. What are we talking about? I might be in a minority. Same thing with the showers. You're not going to come in here and disrespect us and then want to use all my fine amenities.
I don't care about the showers, bro. But what I'm saying is that there's a level of petty that we just know that this guy goes to in order to get his point across. And I feel like you can't be the owner and just be like this petty every single time, man. At some point, just live, man. Just go. It's like being micromanaging over your own employees.
But
like,
bro,
relax.
All right, how about this?
Go relax.
Even with the facial recognition with the law firms, right? I thought he had a point. If me and you are in litigation over something, why would you want to come to my establishment still and patronize it? And you're trying to take me to the cleaners in through the judicial system? No way.
Well, hold on. For that situation, is it an attorney that works at the firm? Was it the actual attorney working on that case? I thought it was an attorney that just worked at the firm
Several. With the recognition, several, I think. I'm pretty sure it was several. That one.
I don't remember that story clearly, but if it was just like one of the attorneys that works at the firm, that's a little wild to me. It's like, yo, I can't come in here. It's not even me litigating the case. You're telling me that I just can't come in here because the firm is deciding that is representing the client that's going to, you know, that's taking you to court. Like, that's wild. That is absolutely. You don't want my hard-earned cash? Okay, fine.
I'm with the petty, man. I'm with the petty, Dolan. I'm with it.
Mm.
you know? So it's just interesting. But, you know, going back to that article with the meddling factor, it's why I never agree with people who say he doesn't care about winning. They just want to make money. Because you're not going to micromanage and meddle in your business if you don't care about winning. I don't see it that way. You know what I mean? You're not going to meddle in basketball operations if it's not about winning. Now, he hasn't made the best decisions there. We know that. That's a documented fact. He hasn't made the best decisions. But to say he's meddling in basketball operations and then to say, well, he doesn't care about winning, he just wants to sell tickets, those two things don't jive.
Yeah. Look, I you can't say that he doesn't care about winning. That's why he's always involved in everything that he does. Like, there's just point blank period. Like, I don't like his decision making. Like, that's the one thing I'll say. Like, even when it comes to spending money, you know, he cares about the team. He'll spend the money. He wants to win. All those things are true. Is he the one to be making the decisions on these basketball operations? No. Like, you leave that to the professionals, but you can be involved. And that's the one thing you got to give him credit for is that. Yeah. Over this time period, he's allowed his front offices to make decisions, right? Even when it's come down to Phil Jackson, when it's come down to Scott Perry and Steve Mills, now Leon Rose and company, like, he is now letting those guys cook, which is the right thing to do. Like let people who've been around basketball, who do that as their business 24/7, take care of it, and you just check in to make sure it's going in the direction that you want to do. Like, he should be active to see that they're getting the results, right? Like, if the team starts, like, stinking it up, like, that's where you go back in and you say, hey, you ain't doing your job. You're not cutting it. Get out of here. But you got to hire those right people. And I think that's been the bigger question, is him hiring the right people to make those
right
decisions.
People.
And that's it. And right now he's got someone who's good, who's making the right decisions.
I mean, look, as much of a disaster as Phil was, much of a disaster as Larry Brown was, it was not about winning. You're not going to try to shell out all that money. D'Antoni, like, he tried to get the biggest names, even though it didn't work. He tried to get the biggest names and the best in the business at that time to change things around. Look how much money he paid these people. I'm just saying, I might come off as a don't apologist. I just see things a little bit differently. Hasn't worked. I'm not justifying that it worked. I'm just saying that I don't buy the narrative that it's just about money and not winning. I don't see that, because winning will improve your stock even higher, right?
So he get to sell tickets at a much higher rate if they're winning.
There you go. There you go. And shout out to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, because he hit this one on the head. You know, in the article where Dolan says that, where he says, being a professional sports owner, you're not beloved until you're dead. That's not true. You're beloved when you win. Until you win. And so shout out to Chuck D, $5 Super Chat says, correction, you're not beloved until you win a championship in New York. And that's it. You know? Steinbrenner wasn't the most beloved among Yankee fans.
No, but you know he cares. But this is where, like, when you want to talk about Yankees and being micromanaging and heavily involved, the cycling door of him hiring and firing people because he wasn't getting the results, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Think about how many managers he went through just because they weren't producing at the level that he expected.
Yeah.
He was one of the most hands-on managers possible. And to fault, even though it was crazy, you got winning, right?
Yeah.
Look, during Derek Jeter's time, we're talking about 5 championships. Like, as much as crazy as it was, and he spent the money too. That's the other thing. Obviously different. There's no cap in baseball, but he spent his money. He was always there, active, making sure that things were run his way to make sure that they were always competing. Crazy times, but you just knew.
Yeah, true indeed, man. True indeed. So he's here to stay. The sphere is going to be opening up soon, and we'll see if he gets how successful it's going to be. We'll see what happens there. Salute to everybody in the chat, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Hit that like button. Hit that share button. And hit the subscribe button. Knicks Weekly on the ones and twos. CP and Alex in the building. You guys want to call us up, call us up. Phone lines up, 657-383-1509. Or you could hit us up on the KFTV Discord. Training camp starting up on October the 3rd. That is Tuesday, October 3rd. You got media day on Monday, October 2nd. from what I'm hearing, it will be a traditional media day. It won't be content day where they're asking them, you know, to say their name backwards and do it for TikTok. They'll actually be answering questions from the media. So we'll see what happens there. 10-1, Ian Begley on the show. 10-3, Ariel Helwani coming to Knicks Fan TV. 10-5, that's Thursday, 10-5, Fred Katz coming through to the show. So training camp week is kicking off. So make sure that you guys get ready. So to our franchise channel members as well. And very much looking forward to starting up this new Knicks season, man. Very much looking forward to that. And speaking of training camp, speaking of Knicks season and MSG, Al, could the band be getting back together, man? According to the New York Daily News, NBA TV sources say MSG Networks is considering a few different voices to fill in for our beloved Walt Clyde Frazier, including Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. As we know, Al, Clyde he's winding down. He's on the way to retirement. He's about to go full-time in St. Croix and get up out of here soon. Soon, not next year, this year, but soon. He's going to retire. But a part of that, he's winding down his road schedule. So he's not going to Indiana on the second night of a back-to-back. They're sending Wally and Han and those guys out there. He's not doing that anymore. So could it be Van Gundy? Could it be Mark Jackson? Your thoughts.
Why not both?
Why not both? Why not both? Yeah.
Why don't you bring both, man? They got great chemistry.
Yep.
Yeah, give me Breen, Jackson, and Van Gundy as a trio covering Knicks games when Clyde isn't there.
And
that would be
bring
amazing.
My guy Gus Johnson back for the B team. Ever since they let him walk and they brought in Spiro, they've been going downhill on the B team. I like Kenny Albert, though. I do like Kenny Albert. He's a classic. We need Gus back. This team is exciting. They're ready. We need Gus calling the games. I need Gus calling it when Brunson's cooking and when it's quickly starting to bake for 30 points off the bench. I need Gus rising fire, pure. I need all of that. Gus.
Yeah. Well, give me Van Gundy. Give me Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
Bring him to MSG, man. Bring him home. Did dirty by ESPN. Don't make it right. Make it right.
Absolutely.
You know how many people will be loving the calls?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. You get the banter that we're used to on ESPN from with all three of them calling the game.
Yeah.
And you get some knowledge. The only thing I'll say, if you bring in Jeff Van Gundy, he won't be able to be as real as he was with ESPN. That's the one thing. That's the one thing, though. You know that to be true. That would be true.
That is. So it's gonna be interesting to see. I would love to see these guys back together. And no better place than for the New York Knicks. Now, my guy Joe Crack, shout out to Fat Joe, left us a comment on the Knicks Fan TV Instagram, Instagram.com/KnicksFanTV. He says, I want in too. So Joe Crack wants in on the action, man. Joe Crack wants in, wants to be part of the team. That'd be interesting, man. Bring in some guest hosts. I got a couple of ideas. You know, maybe the people at MSU give me a call, man.
What if you use, you know, like how ESPN2 has the Mannings call? Why don't you do that for MSG? You use MSG2, have some, I don't know, have two guys that, you know, do Knicks Fan TV. One goes by CP, the other goes by the Traticaster. Why don't they have them call? Or even better yet, let's go with J.D. Breen.
There we go.
That's the best answer.
We
you
can
get J.D. Breen.
Play-by-play live, hosted by J.D. Sports Talk on the new MSG streaming app. Just a couple suggestions to drop in the suggestion box if they're listening. You know what I'm saying?
Get JD on there.
Let's
get JD on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Nick, if you're listening.
I hear
get
you.
Get JD.
I hear you. I do like Han as the Clyde alternate. I like Han. I like when Han does the games on the analyst. Wally. I like Han, you know. I like Wally too. He's the Long Island guy, my guy. But I rock with Han on the analysis part. I just feel like he brings both the analysis experience in tandem with calling a game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Wally, yes, he has the game knowledge and the game experience, but the broadcasting experience is still a little, you know. It's a little rough.
Yeah, well, as Breen said, man, you need the reps.
Need the reps. Just need the reps. So Well, we'll see what happens there. Stay tuned for that. Chuck says, bring Marv back for one game like the Dodgers did with Vin Scully.
Ooh.
Do they bring Marv back? There's a lot of bad blood there, man. I wonder if this, you know, if they let that go. I don't know. Like you said.
I wonder if they let that go.
Don't forget. But who knows? You know, like, even after this dust-up with Sprewell, who knew Sprewell would come back? Now you can't miss him. He's at every game.
Every game.
Community relations.
He was there when we were there.
He was there when we were there shooting the commercial. 6 a.m. Shout out to Nico and the team. So you just never know. You just never know. All right? So that's that on the MSG front. Now, Austin Rivers, Al.
Oh, no,
speaking
God.
Of media, Austin Rivers has been getting into the media game. He signed on with the Ringer. He's kind of been like the NBA anti-hero when it comes to the latest going on around the league. He's been like the vigilante.
His ball is life. His talk about mixtapes has me. It's factual.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. Yeah.
He's right. He's absolutely right. I'm not taking that away from him.
I like that.
It's just funny. It's just funny that he comes out. He's the guy that's at the forefront about.
That's right. And so here he is on the Bill Simmons podcast speaking on his Nick tenure. He didn't like how things ended, man. He said they insulted him a little bit. Here's Austin Rivers. Let's hear what he got to say. Here he is, if anybody cares. There we go. He's right. He's right. That's how the business goes. It's cold, man. It's cold. You are the guy until we get the next guy. This is how the business works, man. And Austin, this isn't, even though this clip is from Bill Simmons' podcast from this past week, Rivers did speak on the Rose trade when it happened, when he was on the team,
mm-hmm.
and said the same thing. Said, I had heard that they had been after Derek since the season started, and so I'm not surprised. It's part of the business. You know, Austin Rivers being Austin Rivers, his dad being Doc Rivers. These guys are you know, NBA movers. They move around. They change teams. They understand that this business can be cold. And for Austin Rivers, look, he had a couple of good games. If they could have played the Utah Jazz on every game of the season, he would have been an all-star for the Knicks. But the fact remains is that he is who he is, an inconsistent, streaky scorer that doesn't really have much else to his game. But he did come through against the Jazz. You know, that home game against the Jazz, he went 9 for 14, 23 points. And then they went to Utah a couple weeks later, and he went crazy. He had 25 points, I believe, in the first half with 10 of 14 and basically never played for the second half of the game. Shout out to Tibbs. Well, way to keep the hot hand hot. Never went back to him. But, you know, after that 25-point game against the Jazz, he had 13 against the Cavs. And then 4 against the Clippers, 1 against the Bulls, 5 against the Bulls, scored 0 points in 8 minutes against Portland, 6 points in 17 minutes against Miami, didn't play, 1 point in 2 minutes against the Wizards, no points in 2 minutes against the Houston Rockets in a blowout, and then the Rose trade happens and he never sees the light of day. Cold world.
Well,
man.
I guess that resume right there answers why he didn't get much playing time and why they went after Derrick Rose. I mean, look. With Austin Rivers, you know, he just didn't. We needed a point guard. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's not a true point guard. He's not a facilitator. He's a combo guard that really just get his own depending on the game, right? As you just read through, not the most consistent guy. He averaged 7.3 points with the Knicks during that time. You just knew what you were getting on a night-to-night basis with him, which is inconsistency. So why the Knicks went after Derrick Rose, and we saw what happened. Derrick Rose, next to Julius Randle, being one of the
transforming
key components
team.
To why they went to the playoffs, right? Derrick Rose trying to do the best he could to keep the team afloat during the playoffs. Like, of course it's going to be Derrick Rose. And Austin Rivers took that chance, right? He had heard that they were going to go after Derrick Rose. He should have thought that that's playing time for me. That could potentially be lost. So he made that decision. So he was okay. He wasn't great by any stretch, but we needed more of a point guard. I mean, him running with Quickly, remember the whole Quivers.
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 Quivers was definitely a thing.
Quivers, remember that?
Oh, sadly.
Like, that was great in concept, two guards that could score. But we needed, with that unit, we needed somebody who could just run the offense.
Boy, we'll hang on to anything. Quivers. Boy, oh, boy. You give Knicks fans two good games, man. You are a darling with this team, man. You're coming to the cookout. That's all it takes.
That's
two good
fact.
Games.
That's a fact. But, look, we needed a point guard, man. He wasn't a point guard.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
No, he wasn't that. And then, look, after he left the Knicks, he goes to Denver. He goes to Minnesota. And now, unfortunately, he's on the unemployment line. And so, at 31 years old, it just, again, speaks to his game. He's not as in demand as he once was. So, but he understands it, and it's a tough business. It's a next man up type of thing, and that's just it, man. It's a cold world. So wish him well. Seems like he's trying to get his media career off the ground as a backup plan. And from what we've heard so far, he's pulling no punches. So that should work out well for him.
Zero. This man, he is not afraid to speak his mind, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good that he's not afraid to speak his mind. But yeah, sorry, man. You're okay with the Knicks.
Yeah. We'll always have Quivers, pal. We'll always have
Quivers.
Boy, oh boy, man. We need to up our standards up, man. Thank you for Brunson. Anyway, man, great show, bro. Great show to all the mods.
You're telling me Quivers was going to take us to the championship?
Boy, great show.
They were
going
to take us to the promised land, CP.
Shout out to our franchise channel members, Junior Caroma, salute. Rhyme Animal Chuck D, Dad of Day from East New York. Lawrence Smith in here, salute, man. Ignacio, of course. Rick Pennington, salute. JJ, yeah, man, salute all our franchise channel members. Salute to Ty. Shout out my guy, Ty, man. Shout out to Ty. Yeah. Anyway, guys, remember that the show is available in audio podcast format, man. No reason to miss it. Check it out on all the major podcast platforms. As I said, next week we have an action-packed slate for you. Ian Begley, Ariel Helwani, and Fred Katz all joining the show to get you guys ready for Knicks training camp. And then the following week is the Knicks preseason, man. We here. But we need you guys on the other side. So what we need you to do, as I said, hit the like button. Hit that thumbs up button right under the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Consider joining the franchise channel memberships, man. Support what we do, man. Your support, your donations is what keeps us running night in and night out, man. It keeps this platform viable for not just now, but for the future, man. So consider donating. Consider joining the franchise channel memberships as well. And sharing these videos. Share this video on Twitter, email, social media. Our viewers, our subscribers grow exponentially when everybody does their part. So that's what we're asking you guys to do, man. Like, share, subscribe, all those good things, man. But salute to the replay gang. Remember, again, that these shows are available in audio podcast format. And we'll catch up with you guys later this week. Al, get back to the diapers and the swaddles and stuff like that, man. You know, get little man his bottle. And we'll catch up, man.
Absolutely. And don't forget, CP.
Yeah.
Quivers!
Quivers. We'll always have Quivers, man. All right, man. I'll at you, man. Everybody be
later,
safe,
bro.
Peace. All right. Good stuff, bro.
Good shit, my man.
So I'll keep you posted. I got to read that, the guide you wrote. I'm still trying to get the website back in order because it got hacked. I think I told you guys it got hacked, so... Mm-hmm. Trying to clean up some stuff in the back end. I'm going to read your stuff. Also, I think I did the GA4 thing properly. I think I did it right. So just double check on that.
Okay.
And then I'll let you know about NBA report either tomorrow or Tuesday. See if I can put a program together for tomorrow. If not, then Tuesday. But I'll let you know ASAP, though.
Yeah. Yeah, Tuesday works for me. Just give me a heads up and I can coordinate things.
Okay. All right. No problem, bro.
All right, man. Good stuff. Great to be back.
Yes, sir.
Great to be back.
Catch up, man. I'll talk to you.
Yeah, man. No doubt.
All right.
Have a good one.
Later. You too, man. Mm-hmm.